Hey everybody, Connor here. We're back. That's right, we took a brief week off, but we are back now. And wouldn't you know it, you take 1 week off, everything goes to shit. As you're about to hear in this episode, my microphone was not working properly, and we just didn't know. You know what, it's actually on Alec. It's on Alec, actually, because, you know, he was supposed to tell me that it didn't sound good. So this is really Alec's fault. It's not my fault at all. Connor did nothing wrong. Alec is to blame. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and just get the episode going. I apologize for the bad audio on my part, but, you know, I think it's a really good episode regardless of that. All right, let's get started.
You follow Mint Press at all?
Yeah. Sometimes their reporting's not the most balanced.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's not balanced. I wouldn't give it that.
Yeah. What do you ask?
They put out something that I was reading about a kind of naming names of the big three television news broadcasters: Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. About people with like deep connections to either Israeli lobby groups or just Israeli advocacy groups that work in like editorial, news production, editorial, or managerial positions.
Oh, yeah. That's the article, because he named the Atlantic editor-in-chief in that too, doesn't he? Just saying like Israeli spies. There's like a pipe.
Oh, I haven't even gotten there.
Oh, okay.
They talk about Associated Press and New York Times, which, I mean, that's pretty known, but I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of shit that even makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, because it's basically naming a bunch of Jews, or it really does, like, in a way. I mean, I know it's not that. That's not what they're doing, but like, it
gets dicey.
Like that bit of kind of, you know, a propaganda about anti-Semitism is like kind of true, where like the first. My immediate reference when you start doing that is just those, you know, 4chan like grids with like everybody that's everybody with like a Star of David on their forehead that like works in media. And it's like, it is odd, you know?
Yeah. One of the funniest things while we're in the area, one of the funnier memes I've seen is like, it was a meme about debunking that Jews run the banks, and the head of like most banks are Irish people.
No, oh, the Hibernian yeah. Conspiracy or whatever.
Is it Hyperborean or Hibernian?
I don't remember. I don't know. I think yeah. You're reminding me of that one that's like, did you know that Benjamin Netanyahu is Jewish? It's like, oh my god, what?
I was thinking today, since he's from Philly, if that's why Fetterman raw dogs for him so much. Of just like,
he's just a Philly guy.
Yeah, he's like, he's one of us.
Represent Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Or maybe they grew up together.
Maybe so. Yeah. You never know.
They went down to Wawa to get some hoagies together.
His fucking hoagies, dude. I think he's like a generation older than Fetterman. But let's, maybe. Let's he babysat here. Him.
Yeah. Let's see here. Netanyahu is 75. How old do you think Fetterman is?
48.
55.
Oh, damn.
Okay, but yeah, 20 years. So yeah, maybe he did babysit. Maybe Netanyahu was the manager at a GameStop that Fetterman frequented. Or back then, Funko Land.
Maybe he's his dad. He's a secret dad.
Could be. Uncle BB.
We're certainly existing in an age of propaganda. How about that? How about those Minnesota murders, Connor? You've been enjoying that crazy fucking story.
Don't know if I can say that I have been enjoying it, but there's one thing that I'm taking a little bit of glee in, is that the guy's name is Vance, and and people. It's so funny to see some reporters are choosing to publish his first name instead of his last name when referring to him, and just saying, why? Vance Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder why it's so funny to say that Vance shot two people.
Suspect Vance in custody after murdering two Democratic lawmakers, or yeah, lawmaker and husband, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. He, there's another lawmaker and his wife, or they survived. They're getting shot like what, 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, that was great. The ones that got shot 8 or 9 times, the ones that lived. It's crazy. And this then, guy's a terrible shot. Is he shooting with a BB gun?
And then let's see, this guy's name, Vance Bolter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there's more information coming out about him, but it seems that he is an evangelical weekend warrior pastor who also works in probably for a PMC.
Yeah, they're just a and bunch
wants to train Congolese people to like run businesses to open up. I don't know. I'm waiting like a week or two to see like what comes out. And then in 5 years, I'll be down the rabbit hole and be like, they missed this connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's part of the story that I just read at lunch, but like it's so funny. We're like, so he, I mean, it is funny. Sorry. Like, he leaves the first house where he shoots the, I don't know if it's the senator or the legislator. He goes to another house where the cops have already kind of like, started going around to like local, I guess, politically connected people in the area. And he's got that crazy ass, like drive mask on. You saw the pictures with that, right?
Oh yeah.
And apparently another cop saw him and just figured he was a cop, like saw him in the mask and was like, oh, that's weird. But they like, I think they tried to stop him at one point and failed. And
yeah.
Then
I read up where they exchanged gunfire with him. And I was like, man, That's what's so crazy about it. And we'll get into this on the like why we didn't record an episode last week, is that there was so much going on, including in this Vance Bolter story, there's so much going on, so much information flying at you so quick. It is hard to see the signal through the noise, and we don't want to add to the noise. Like I've said it before, and I'll say it again, people don't get their news from us, and if you do, for the love of God,
please read the news.
Please read the news.
I don't care, but don't get it from us.
We are utter morons.
I wouldn't say that. But I mean, the reason we didn't record was we just got back from Minnesota. So we've been really busy. It's been a week of just craziness, right? And we all live on the internet now, or like at least the people that are kind of tapped in, the people that are paying attention to politics live on the internet. And I don't even know if I'd call it propaganda, because while I hate the word, I think I can only call it like disinformation. Just the amount of garbage that you can kind of inhale, right? Like trying to find out about a news story, I'd say in like the first, it's not even in the first hour anymore, Connor, it's in like the first 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Like the amount of just garbage floating around on the internet that's not confirmable. It's just sourced to some other fucking tweet, right? It's 10 posts up, right? Some line. And it's really difficult to not take that stuff as gospel when, you know, roundly half of the people are reposting it as though it's been sourced.
Oh yeah. And it's really chaotic. And first off, hi everyone. Welcome to another episode of Propagandos. It is Tuesday, June 17th.
Yeah,
that's right. I know this because Taco Bell just introduced fried chicken crispers.
God,
I got an email about it. So
I've been waiting forever. Those commercials where they're like, "It's a fried chicken shop." They're just terrible.
I have no idea. I haven't eaten Taco Bell in I don't know how long. I've been.
What? You're the Taco Bell king. You're the TB man.
Dude, they got me on that Mounjaro for my diabetes.
Oh, he can't have good things anymore.
Dude, if you eat poorly, you feel like an asshole. Like you feel terrible.
You feel like you're dying.
Yeah. Anyway, it's your boy Connor, joined as always by co-host Alec.
What's up, guys?
I do want to say we do have some new listeners, new subscribers. Because I presented my research on the Chick-fil-A streaming app, Chick-fil-A Play, as well as Dan Cathy, former CEO of Chick-fil-A's connection to Hollywood. And why he threatened at Hollywood moving to Georgia. We'll do another episode on that sometime soon. But I didn't want to do it this time because new subscribers literally just heard me talking about this. But hey, okay. Hey, thank you for listening. Unless we don't have any new subscribers and all you fake fucks just pulled out your phone to be nice in front of me.
And check their messages and then put it away.
Yeah, taking a picture and posting, look at this hashtag asshole.
just have a bunch of terrible mentions on Instagram or whatever.
But yeah, I do want to shout out the Nerd Night listeners because some of y'all asked me some really, really good questions that I've never been asked before in regards to this podcast and why we do this. And we'll get to those near the end of the show, but we do have some things that we want to talk about. Primarily, why we didn't, you know, up top, why we didn't record an episode last week, which was, again, there was so much going on. LA was having its anti-ICE uprising, and instead of just summarizing what everybody else was watching, we just kept watching. And I was supposed to record a like 5-minute thing explaining that, and I didn't because I was watching the LA protest, and I was also playing Night Rain as Mario Kart World on my new Nintendo Switch 2. That
so there's the real reason.
I may or may not have emptied out my savings to get.
Awesome.
Yeah. But hey, whatever. At least I got one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, right? Like you've seen the news, listener, of the protests in LA. You've made your own conclusions. I'd just like to say that I'm extremely pleased that all the Waymos were destroyed. Death to Waymo and all other self-driving abomination cars. We don't need them. They're basically just an endangerment to everybody else. And you know what? The real reason is they're creepy. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like it. I don't,
you don't like self-driving cars.
No, fuck no. There should be a person in those
cars. I wonder if that's a rural versus.
There shouldn't be cars. No.
Because look, I want a walkable city as much as the next guy, but Houston drivers, I would love for them to be replaced by robots who never fuck up. But admittedly, these robots, these self-driving cars are not perfect and keep running over children.
Yeah,
so not quite there yet.
I do instinctually just not trust them, right? Like, you can call me a Luddite. I don't give a fuck. I do industrial machines for a job, right? Like, I don't trust them to do their own operations all that safely. And I certainly don't trust them with a moving vehicle next to me on the highway, right? Nope. Burn all the Waymos. I like it, right? Protest ICE as well, right? do all that other stuff too, but make sure you get a, you know, make sure you break a couple Waymos along the way.
Hang on. Put my phone up. I got a cool little phone case that lets me keep an eye on it.
And the other thing is I just don't think we had all that much to add, right? I mean, there's the
we don't even live in LA.
Well, I mean, I don't even live in a really major American city. I mean, Connor does. You could talk about maybe the No Kings protests, but that really wasn't much of anything.
I disagree. And okay. We can get into that. I think that the No Kings, dude, there were hundreds of people in Conroe, Texas at the No Kings protest. Mm-hmm. Like, the No Kings protest, while, you know, it was a very, very successful, peaceful protest. Branko Marchetic, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. If not, I apologize. He wrote a piece for Jacobin that got published this morning on how, like, this was a success in the heart of, like, Trump land. Like, Trump country, there were so many people that, like, protested.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, whether or not you think that protesting is effective or not, we've had episodes that discuss that. But I told you I recorded a rant about the No Kings protest in my phone, and you wanted me to play it on this?
I wanted to do a live reaction on the show. Absolutely. All right,
let me pull it up. Because, listeners, I want to say that I was driving in my car and I had like a Sartori moment because my dad went to the No Kings protest. And the last time my dad went to a political protest, it was a Tea Party rally in the Woodlands, Texas. And he went there being told, like, this is about lower taxes and getting back at the bankers who caused the 2007-2008 crash. He showed up, saw some very racist imagery, and was like, I'm leaving.
Okay, interesting.
But my dad, you know, in his 60s, almost 70, and he is a patriot. You know, he considers himself a patriot. He served in the Navy. He served on the Kitty Hawk. He loves this country, and he gave me a pretty inspiring speech about why he wanted to go to the No Kings protest. And yeah, he just like loves this country, and he hates what's happening to it. And let me go ahead and pull up. Where the fuck is the recorder? Okay, all right. So do you want me to like pause it whenever you have something you want to say, or are you just going to laugh at it?
No, fuck no. Just play it. We'll just play by ear, dog.
All right. Whoops. Hang on. Fucking pop-ups. All right.
So about the No Kings protest, you know, well, one of the things that was really interesting about this is how many old people attended. I mean, if you look at the video, if you look at the photos, any footage surrounding this protest, you'll see that it was a significantly older crowd, which I thought was really interesting. And the reason why I thought that was interesting is like things have gotten in this country so alarming that boomers, the most comfortable generation in the entire fucking country, is getting up off their ass. You know, true. With the Walmart era being behind it and Trump saying that Walmart has to eat the cost of the tariff with her funding a lot of this protest, are there, you know, reasons why she might be wanting to fund a protest against Trump? Probably. But people are still showing up. My dad didn't know that. That, by the way, my dad went to the protest, and my dad didn't know that the Walmart heiress, the Walton family, had paid for this fucking protest. No, not at all. What was inspiring to me was hearing him tell me why he wanted to protest. And, you know, my dad's a Navy vet, served on the Kitty Hawk. Never saw combat.
I've said all this.
He's patriotic and loves this country, flaws and all, and wants to stand up for it, wants to fight for it. So anytime people will say, like, what did your protest accomplish? What did your little protest do? Did you bring about big change? Man, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. We live in a country, look, this protest.
My man's getting heated. I love this.
Bumper to bumper traffic.
We've wrestled on this podcast about, you know, God, I'm seeing a Walmart ad right now. we've gone back and forth on this podcast of like, is a protest even do anything? Absolutely it does, or else they wouldn't prosecute protesters.
Maybe.
Or else they wouldn't be deporting protesters, or else they wouldn't be deporting people who write fucking op-eds. What do you think is more powerful, an op-ed or a protest? Because the Trump administration is cracking down on both. And the reason why is because this kind of action is disrupting the narrative. Disrupting the narrative. Ooh, how powerful. Ooh, how big. Yeah, in a fucking propaganda state where the narrative
you're
is
just going off in your car. I love it.
Age era propaganda state. You're at your bottom fucking dollar. That disrupting the narrative hurts. That's why I also have an issue with people who say that, oh, you're just posting. Oh, you're just sharing. Look, as a disabled person who knows a lot of other disabled people who aren't able to make it out to protest, that still does something. How many times do you look at your phone? People check their phones like 100 times a day or something. All the time. We get all of our information from our phone. So when you're sharing something, when you're using a hashtag, you are algorithmically disrupting what the powers that be want you to see and what you, and, you know, control what they don't want you to see. That's why shadow banning is a thing. They come up with all these different ways to stifle resistant content.
You're still on that platform. That
content makes it sound so much dirtier. It makes it sound so less genuine, but that's what it is. You know, I'm using the word content in a context right now, not in the context of art versus content. That's a different conversation.
I like how it's like breaking down and you're talking about something else kind of now.
In this context. I love it.
It's very, very guy in his car. guy in his car records a thing.
Oh, yeah. I have my Oakleys on.
So, like, my initial reaction is, sure, right? It's not bad, and it's certainly, I don't think, like, just a waste of effort, right? Like, I don't, even this, like, Walton lady, as much as, you know, anybody that's an heiress of some kind of you know, enormous private business in the United States, as much as I don't trust them, it doesn't seem like this is, you know, shrouding some kind of malevolence, right? This isn't actively bad. I think the issue is that some people poo-poo it because they would like protesting to do more, right? Yeah. And the answer to that is we're not protesting right as part of the right movement yet. And that is the same kind of criticism that I would generally have, although it's got to be light criticism, right? Like there's nothing wrong with the No Kings thing. I think it's deserving to be pointed out that it's probably kind of astroturfed, that it's exceedingly polished, and that I think we should all be a little bit wary of that kind of thing, but then make your own judgment. If it doesn't seem like it's noxious, right, there's nothing wrong with it. The issue that I would have is I don't think that kind of stuff, I don't think No Kings is going to be tied to the kind of movement that's going to use that protesting ultimately for like structural and effective political ends, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be the threshold for why you go protest, right? It's just, this is what we would want that to have. We would want protesting to not just be a thing that you do because you were posting and you got angry and you're not doing anything this Saturday, and not a reason, and not, as some people, I think, very cynically describe it, as an excuse for people basically to go do something so that they can post about it, right? To go take pictures of yourself at the protest, which is, you know, part. I mean, look, if that gets bodies to protest, I don't give a fuck. But the most important thing is that it builds on itself, right? That there is some kind of effective, you know, ideological movement behind the thing that we're protesting for, and that can enact some political change. And to be honest with you, right, we don't have that anywhere, Connor, right? Like that does not exist on the level of something like, you know, No Kings, to where they're talking about it on the news, right, yet. And so that rings probably vapid, right? That kind of criticism can ring hollow coming from a person like me, right, who's making that, which is like, well, what would you prefer we do? And the answer is, well, I don't really have anything else, right? you can burn Waymos, right? You can go to LA and burn Waymos, and you can be the only guy, I guess, in Houston burning, I don't know, do you guys have self-driving taxis over there?
We did, but they in all of Texas, we had this company called Cruise, and they were such a problem in Austin that they shut them down across the state. Yeah, yeah. But I did come across, there's a lot in the Montrose neighborhood off of West Alabama, and I want to say Banks, where there's this like lot with a green fence around it, and you can't see anything. And one day I drove by it, and there was a hole in the fence, and every single Cruise car was in there. And so I was like, oh my God.
Just mothballed. Okay. Yeah. So since Connor's basically given their address, you can go to that address and set something on fire. We don't care.
They're grazing in the parking lot.
They're like cows.
Yeah.
Tipo. Oh, they've been let out to pasture. They've been freed. Yeah. Oh, that's like they're. Yeah,
we're sending the Waymos to a farm upstate.
What is it? Alabama.
Yeah. I do want to say really quick that I did do some digging into it, and while the Walmart heiress, who's not on the board of Walmart, but I'm sure she certainly is a major shareholder, she is not the financier or founder of the No Kings protest. That is a group called Indivisible, which is a progressive movement that, you know, they try to do electoral change, basically, which I know you are skeptical of.
Yeah, boo! Yeah, I hate elections. No.
She was into it and decided to like take out an ad in the New York Times, which now people want to boycott Walmart, which I'm sure Walmart's just like, why did you do this?
Well, elections famously don't work as effectively as my strategy, which is burning down Walmarts and Waymos. Right?
If you burn down the Walmart in Lake Charles, where the fuck are you going to get your stuff?
Where am I going to get my grudge? Please don't burn down my Walmart. They shut down the Kroger that actually had good products at it, and now all we have is the Walmart neighborhood market, which is... Have you been to it, Connor?
I've been to the Walmart in Sulphur. I don't know if I've been to the one in Lake Charles.
The neighborhood market is it's such a fucked up name too, because it's like one of those prefab buildings, and like the inside is not even like there's no like drop ceiling, so you feel like you are just in an industrial warehouse that has a bunch of food in it, right? Which is literally what it is, right?
Yeah.
That is my big conspiracy theory, that eventually with this like shopping app thing, and the pricing apps, right? I think these companies are attempting to do is get you to shop through an app, so basically they can just not open the store at all. Somebody will bring you out some stuff in a bag, and therefore they can run the store like a real warehouse. They don't have the liability, they don't have people stealing out of it, right? It's literally just going to be a window where you pick your groceries up from, like, you know, the teenager that fucked up 12 things in your order.
Yeah. I mean, next time you come through Houston, I want to drive you by to HEB in Montrose, because they have this like huge curbside pickup.
We going to set it on fire?
No, man. That's where I get my soba sauce there. If I don't want to drive out to H Mart.
We really are. We really are the wokest Hitlerites in the country.
I mean, whenever you do come to town, we will go to H Mart so we can get you like all that fresh dill. I know you're.
What are they called? Treatlerites or whatever? The Treatlerites. You got to go to the Asian grocery stores. Korean, or is H Mart Chinese? I don't know.
I think it's Pan Asian.
Okay, there we go. We don't have to attach a nationality to it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I can get any Asian food there. It's there awesome. It's so awesome. I love it.
For
me first, folks. Propaganda fully endorses H-Mart.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say Asian people, which we also endorse.
It's a great place to pick up the latest copy of the Epoch Times.
Yeah, and see an advertisement for Shen Yun, which I just learned. I thought, so I don't know, some of our listeners are not from Houston. They've never been to Houston. Houston features these enormous fucking billboards on the endless I-10 corridor, the interstate corridors. There are these enormous billboards for Shen Yun, which, if you don't know, is the performance art section of the Falun Gong cult that was, I guess, exiled from China, I don't know, sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And they do this like opera where they talk about how evil the Communist Party of China is.
Evolution and atheism.
Oh, sure. But, you know, we're talking about the good stuff. I guess they are. Are they like fundamentalist Christians? Or they are a totally different thing?
No. In fact, the founder of the Falun Gong, or Falun Dafa, is considers himself to be the Messiah, and people have to basically worship him.
Which god, though? Just all of them?
Just him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, well, he is God.
Well, that solves it. Mm-hmm. That really cleans things up. But anyway, I mean, they're out year round. These enormous billboards go to Shen Yun. There's like a lady with like handkerchiefs coming out of her dress, and I just learned that Shen Yun is not actually like headquartered in Houston, and that you can't go to Shen Yun anytime you want. Because I offered it to Connor, and he said, "Well, we're gonna have to wait till August, December. Or whatever." December.
It comes every year for 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to go see Shen Yun. Which, my man, if you want to go see Shen Yun, I am more than. I bet it will go to Lake Charles.
Please!
They performed in Cyprus.
The Lake Charles Convention Center.
They performed in Cyprus this year.
Oh, well,
yeah. The Sci Fair Performance, the Barry Center or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck that thing is.
Yeah. Doxing our childhood homes.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
What are they going to go set the Barry Center on fire? Go do it. I don't care.
I could give a fuck.
There's a lot to bleep out this episode or not.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think the NSA hopefully has bigger things to worry about nowadays.
Yeah. Back to the protest really quick. If you do read that Branko article in Jacobin, he does lay out the case that if you look at the election results of this past general election and compare them to the midterm elections of 2022, which was seen as a flop for Republicans, and you see that, like, hey, in these areas where the voter turnout is technically less for Trump, and there's more protest movement for Trump, this all means great in comparison to the lackluster attendance of the Trump military birthday parade.
Oh, God.
Is it Trump's birthday? Is it Flag Day? Is it the anniversary of the military? It's all three. It's a perfect storm of who gives a shit.
The scenario that I can come up with that makes the most sense is somebody, when they were discussing like dates for this parade, and he said he really wanted to do it, somebody offered up this date and was like, it's Flag Day. And he's like, did you know that's, it's also my birthday. And they were like, wow, no way, Mr. Trump. That's perfect. That's even better. But goddamn, I mean, as a piece of propaganda, we should come up with like, is there a word like anti-propaganda where it does like the opposite of what you want? Because this is brutal, man.
I don't know if there's, I mean, we could coin it right now. Listeners, if you know the proper term, you have to tell us in the Discord. Because I do not check the email very often. But yeah, I would say agitprop, but I think agitprop is specifically propaganda meant to like generate agitation.
It's like incite
other countries. Yeah.
Exactly, to like incite some, you know, just like usually animosity, but get you riled up, right? Yeah, and this did not get anybody riled up, man. Everybody's laughing at us. I mean, not even the Trump guys can pretend it's good.
Yeah,
it's so embarrassing.
The footage,
man,
of Rubio yawning, so funny.
I mean, like to be honest, right? It's not just that it looks bad. Like to be frank, right? Like I'm kind of a war nerd. Like armies that practice marching in parade formation, that spend their time doing that, right? If you spend a lot of time doing that, you're probably spending less time doing other stuff. I'm not going to say it's a negative indicator of the effectiveness of an armed forces, but like I said, it's time spent doing that when you could be doing something better that maybe, you know, affects how well you can fight and kill other people in the world when we send them.
Okay.
And we are not good at marching in formation, right? It does not look fancy. We don't have like the North Korean like card teams that are doing like the fancy, you know, signs halfway across a giant open square. We didn't build our capital city for parades.
Right. It's so funny to hear like see the footage of like it's dead silent. And you can hear the squeaking wheels of the tank.
Oh, man. So just no cheers.
So bad. But
and the sound was really bad, too. So like the piped in kind of like far away, echoey marching band music. It's just like it's just eerie and depressing.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that it was Trump visiting the DPRK and meeting Kim Jong-un, as well as going to China, meeting Xi Jinping, and seeing military parade, if that inspired him. And you just said, like, you know, militaries that do parades don't have time to be, you know, doing other stuff. North Korea, China, do they have boots on the ground anywhere? Are they engaged?
Not really. So the Chinese have one base in, I believe it's Djibouti in the African Horn, and they don't really station people, I don't think, anywhere else unless they're doing joint exercises. And the North Koreans are persona non grata basically everywhere in the world almost. So no, I don't, not that I'm aware of, but they do a lot of parading, and you know what? It looks great. It looks phenomenal. And I think, yeah, I mean, obviously Trump got a taste of that at some point and thought, this fucking rules, and I would like this at my birthday party someday. Where can I hire these guys? Right.
So
and
awesome.
Then I know. And he just thought he could snap his fingers and make it happen. And I guess nobody backed him down off of that ledge.
It makes me think of the episode of South Park where it's Satan's Sweet 16. And he's just like, nobody got me the present I wanted.
Exactly. I don't think anybody wanted to tell him that it was going to suck, but damn, did he find out, because those pictures of him just looking miserable on the sidelines are so funny. Somebody tweeted, like, you know, he just wants to like look at his phone. Like, it's really beautiful, guys. I mean, you know,
I'm surprised I'm surprised he didn't like live truth, not tweet, live truth.
Live truth. Yeah. Huge waste of tax dollars, brought to you by Coinbase. It just embarrassment, dude, all
every
around,
time,
man.
They thank our sponsor, Coinbase. Like, goo-hoo-y.
Yeah.
Oh. Can you hear me all right?
They did come up with one good idea, which was the army through the ages thing. Mm-hmm. But that's almost something you do at like your, you know, like your small town in Ohio, like 4th of July parade. it's really hard to make that look impressive.
Yeah.
And they didn't, right? So like L on that one too. You know what? He should have just done it like in Hollywood. Like, fuck doing it in Washington. Do it somewhere where you can like, where you can
in get LA,
like Disneyland or something. I guess the Disney Corporation probably would not appreciate, you know, like rope it in so you can make it a big spectacle, right?
That's
a fun thing where people already are, right? And go and work with that. But I don't know.
What would be the best city to do this in instead of DC? You said our city wasn't, our capital wasn't built for parade.
Lake Charles, Louisiana. Tear the roads up. They already suck, boys. Get that army in here. I'm trying to imagine, like, what's a city where with a big open space? Because the United States doesn't have a lot of big giant squares, right?
No.
The kind that are good for marching bands.
We turn them all into a golf course.
What we should do is shut down that part of I-10 that has like 10 lanes and just get people on those like ridges next to those and they can just march down I-10.
Yeah, there we go.
Just tear the interstate apart.
That reminds me of Hurricane Harvey in the aftermath. You're seeing like tanks roll through Houston and you're like, oh, fuck.
Did you really? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It was pretty bananas. Maybe like Denton or Old Town Spring.
I'm just thinking of like towns I don't like that I want bulldozed by the 101st Airborne. Or like
you mentioned Hollywood,
the cavalry.
You mentioned Hollywood, as we call it, Holly Weird.
Yeah, the Hollywood sickos.
Hollywood sickos.
Do we want to talk about Epstein? That's kind of like passé.
No, I mean, there's so many conspiracies now saying that like the L.A. uprisings and the LA protest as well as the parade are all distractions from the Epstein shit.
We would just be talking about Kash Patel on Rogan, which is uninteresting as fuck. Like, who gives a fuck?
At most, and this ties into something that I know you're itching to touch on, is that the Epstein stuff might be the compromise that Netanyahu has on Trump to allow Trump to just like get out of the way for the Iran Israel conflict.
Maybe. I mean, like, I think the issue that I have with that is Trump just generally goes along with anything. Like, I really just don't think that Trump is the kind of guy that you have to blackmail, right? Like, I would definitely, if somebody even half reputable kind of told me that and had some evidence to that effect, I'm definitely willing to believe it, right?
Yeah.
But he just doesn't seem that way. He seems like a goof. He seems like he's easy to buy off.
This is
mostly
the guy who said that Muslims were dancing on the roofs of buildings in Jersey after 9/11. So like, what an about face for Trump. What a heel turn. Like, no, he's always
loving Israel.
Yeah.
No. I mean, especially because, that showcases that he's the kind of guy that just reads and believes the New York Post, right? Which is not a guy that you have to bribe. It's not a guy that you have to, like, hold something over on.
Yeah.
But, I think...
You donate enough, and he'll do whatever the fuck you want. I believe, like, didn't Sheldon Adelson and his widow, like, the biggest donors to the Trump campaign? And
around it was definitely Elon. But the first time around, that's very possible, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially early on.
And I know they're very, very pro-Israel, and that probably influences Trump's policy. If you pay enough, you get what you want.
Rest in peace, Sheldon Adelson. We miss you.
Vegas longs for your revival, sir.
Yeah. So, it's becoming somewhat clear that there's basically two tracks to make of this, right? So, listeners might not be, like, super familiar with, you know, attempting to do Kremlinology, essentially, to Netanyahu and Mossad, and, like, why does Israel do the things it does, right? There's a bunch of reasons you could mention that are fairly obvious, but I think one of the issues that I've had lately, especially with, like, the latest attack on Iran, right, this kind of new era in this conflict, I suppose, is that what it's doing is kind of drawing Israel away from a thing that they were angling towards and have been for years. So basically, if you kind of put in context where Israel is vis-a-vis the Sunni powers, the Sunni regional powers, basically the Gulf states, right? The Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, to a lesser degree, Qatar, right? Or like Bahrain, but it really matters are the Saudis and the Emirates, right? If you were to tell me, like, back during the first Trump administration, right, when things were going good, 2017, 2018, basically, right, when the Abraham Accords were getting ready to be signed, and there was all of this kind of, let's say, good feeling, right, around the Israel lobby, Jared Kushner, and finally, quote unquote, normalizing relations with, like, the Saudis and the Emiratis, right, to form basically an official, not like allied front, but truce, basically, for a side that's kind of aligned with America, right, and now officially that includes Israel and those Saudi nations, and basically everybody else, right, which kind of, you know, you could broadly say makes up the resistance, right, the Iranians, you know, whoever's outside of that loop, Hezbollah, you know, Shias in Iraq, whatever, right. I would have never at that point believed you if you said that things were as bad as they are now. Right. So, like, in response to the first kind of strikes on Tehran that took place at the end of last week, the Saudis basically issued, like, the most like condemnatory statement of Israel that we've seen, you know, in like a generation. Right. And all that stuff's basically off the table now. Right. Like, they're back to at least being neutral, if not, and when I say they, I mean, the Gulf states are back to being neutral, if not openly antagonistic to Israel. Their populaces are incredibly riled. Right. And these are not places that are strictly speaking, very stable. Right. Meaning the Emiratis probably less, but the Saudis, you know, could literally get couped like tomorrow, right, if there was like a massive uprising in Saudi Arabia. It could be very dangerous. And so they, on some level, they have to go along with that populace, but at the same time, it's just extremely unpopular, right? Like, the region is basically torn apart. Trade is you know, stopping. This endangers basically the kind of oil production that these countries rely on if you know, the Iranians and the Israelis get into a war, much less if the United States does. It's fucking bad for business, right? So you're like, well, what is the logic here for the Israelis, given how different things were, you know, 5-6 years ago? And basically the only thing I can come up with is I've actually spoken to some Israelis on the internet since then, and their take was, you know, Netanyahu's opinion is, you're never going to get this chance again, right? Hezbollah has essentially been, like, defeated, right? They're just kind of off of the board. The Hamas is basically, you know, the same. They're you know, huddled, you know, starving in Gaza with the rest of the fucking civilian population. And you're never going to get this chance again to strike at Iran with the full-throated support of the United States to bomb them and possibly cause regime change, or just cripple them some more, right, that you are right now. And the process for normalization with the Sunni Arab states, right, the Gulf states, is either off the table for now and to be rebuilt, or just done, right? It's just over, right? And we'll you know, pick up the pieces later, and we don't care what their opinion is. And that's a particularly, like, dangerous place to be, right? And I know I'm talking about, like, international relations, and all this stuff's a little bit over my head, right? I'm just a guy with a podcast, basically, that doesn't do this for a job. But I will say that, like, the other side of this, the propaganda angle of it, has been really interesting, because in the past, right, if you like follow, like, you know, Israel and the kind of you know, the bombing runs that it commits every couple months or years, right? Is when it does it to Iran, it usually does it in the following way, right? Like, a day or two before, or like the day of, they'll come out and they'll say, look, we got this intel, they're close to a bomb, they're working on, you know, uranium at this site. And then they'll get the Americans, right, the American intelligence, so the State Department or something, to issue a joint statement that says, hey, we looked at all this crap that Israel sent us, and we at least agree, right? We, you know, we're shaking our heads yes, that this exists, and this is, you know, I guess a justifiable reason to bomb another country, right? And that didn't exist for this one, right? A lot of kind of hay's been made about, you know, Trump being outside of the loop on this, and basically the Israelis kind of dropping this on the Americans and just telling us they're going to do it at the last second, and us kind of going along with it, I suppose. But there's not even really, like, the fig leaf, right, of a kind of, like, a rubber stamped statement that backed up by any other party, right, read American State Department or whatever, right, about the day of, right, kind of pre-planned about why it is they're doing this and why the time is now, right? Yeah. Because on the trajectory of what the Americans have been saying, this, you know, I mean, people have been pointing it out, this goes directly against what, like, Tulsi Gabbard made a statement to, a joint statement to Congress about, like, a couple months ago,
yeah,
that what the IAEA has been saying, right? There's no kind of fig leaf. This is just aggression.
Yeah.
And by the way, right, like the right wing, the kind of pro-Israel right wing, which you should read as like J.D. Vance and your fucking Charlie Kirks and right, like all the paid stooges, right? The guys that just like, Israel's our greatest ally and we love them in Iran, you know, we can't nuke them, but we wish we could. Those guys are kind of been in free fall the past couple days, meaning like they did not get a memo, right? They did not get talking points and they're fucking scrambling. Right. And that's surprising because that's not usually the case.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Seeing the Tulsi Gabbard statement, and Trump was asked about that. And he's like, I don't care what Tulsi said, they're making a weapon.
yeah.
I have been paying particular interest or particular attention to the different media narratives that are coming out of this from politicians. And, you know, Bernie Sanders said, you know, this is an act of aggression that was completely unprovoked. And Dan Crenshaw said, oh, was it unprovoked? Dan Crenshaw, who is half blind and completely stupid. Dan Crenshaw said, oh, is it unprovoked? Do you not remember last year when Iran shot a bunch of drone strikes into Israel, completely neglecting the fact that like that was because Israel bombed the Iranian embassy,
right,
in fucking Damascus, and killed two generals. You moron.
Well, I mean, by that logic, right, if these things don't have half-lives...
You cyclopean, right, like, turd.
Yeah, cyclopean. That's a great word for Dan. I've never heard anybody call him cyclopean before. Holy fuck.
I hate him.
I don't even know. I don't even know where I was. The eye patch district.
I also have right here, Trump posted on Truth Social, which, by the way... For those listening, don't forget to sign up for Trump Mobile, or what is it? Trump Mobile?
He's got a cell phone, yeah.
New cell phone plan, as well as the Truth Plus Patriot package, so you can stream your favorite patriotic content on Donald Trump's own stream.
Can you get a phone from them? Like, is it like one of those like jitterbugs like they used to advertise on like late night TV?
All right, let's look this up.
It better be, dude.
Mobile. Is it Truth Mobile or Trump Mobile? Trump Mobile. $499 gold T1 smartphone, $47 a month plan. That's pretty good.
No, we both get smartphones. we should get podcast phones. Trump phone.
Need a phone. It just, oh my god, it's like a gold plated Samsung phone.
It just directly pipes all your data to some like data center in Qatar.
Any unlocked phone will work on Trump Mobile. That's good. Oh, it says here that if you use Signal, it's automatically leaked.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, well, stick around, listeners. That is something I do want to do a deeper dive on, because you know the podcast Smartless? It's got Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. They started their own cell phone plan called like Smart Mobile. I'm like, what the fuck? And I thought that was the dumbest thing until Trump started one. Like,
oh, yeah, until the president does another fucking cash grab.
Here's my theory. So the fact that Trump has this, that he's getting into Bitcoin, that he's got his own social network, as well as his own streaming service, I think he looks at his children and is like, none of these kids are capable of being the president.
Don't eat them.
I raised so many stupid morons. So he's giving them all like pet projects to like do once he died. So
how much did they disclose that he made off of the stupid fucking Bitcoin scam that like Trump, it was like 50 million or
yeah,
was it 500 or $60 million?
I think it was $60 million.
We're so cooked,
yeah,
dude.
Money. But he yeah, I think he's starting up all these businesses, and Trump's not the only one. Look into the Ellison family. Larry Ellison, he's now the second richest person in the world. He owned and started Oracle. His son David Ellison, he's in charge of Skydance Media, aka Paramount Skydance, aka the owner of CBS, which settled a lawsuit with fucking Trump. Not only that, but Larry Ellison's daughter owns Annapurna Entertainment, which has, you know, theater production, movie production, book licensing deal. Like these rich and famous people are now moving in. They're buying up media. They're buying up media, people. I'm not These people are gobbling. They're buying up all the jail, folks.
It is like fascinating that, like, with the advent of Trump, like, more nakedly than ever before, the like American oligarchy from is like just becoming the political oligarchy. Like you know those like things where it's like the media oligarchy is connected to all the politicians, right? Like, what if they were just the same people? What if the president was just like a media mogul?
Fuck it.
There's like the kind of shit that's like it is so funny that like that's the kind of shit people say about like, you know, ex-Soviet like Kazakhstan or whatever. It's like, yeah, the guy who owned like the biggest TV station, right, just ran and now he's a prime minister or whatever. Like, like that's shit that you would see in like the second, third world. And it's like,
day one declares a state of emergency, cancel like bans all channels that aren't the ones that he somehow didn't divest from. Like, yeah, you just get fucking ready, people.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Anyway,
but I sorry, we kind of went off on a tangent there, but I do want to share with you something that Trump posted on Truth today, this morning. It's a ridiculously long text message from Mike Huckabee, who is the ambassador to Israel. Mr. President, God spared you in Butler, Pennsylvania, to be the most consequential president in a century, maybe ever. The decisions on your shoulders, I would not want to be made by anyone else. You have many voices speaking to you, sir, but there is only one voice that matters, his voice. I am your appointed servant in this land and am available for you, but I do not try to get in your presence often because I trust your instincts. No president in my lifetime has been in a position like yours, not since Truman in 1945. I don't reach out to persuade you, only to encourage you. I believe you will hear from heaven, and that voice is far more important than mine or anyone.
Trump stopped reading like five sentences ago.
He sent me to Israel to be your eyes, ears, and voice, and to make sure our flag flies above our embassy. My job is to be the last one to leave. I will not abandon this post. Our flag will not come down. You did not seek this moment. This moment sought you.
Oh, God, Iran could do the
you, Mike.
Iran could do the funniest thing of all time.
Yeah, Trump just writes back, say less.
Great. Yeah. Great. Good job.
Thumbs up. It reacts.
You're doing a great job.
Sorry, Mike. Just got your text.
I don't know. Just to come back to like the propaganda angle on like the past week, you know, with the kind of Israeli bombings, like it's clear if social media is the indicator, right, of the most psychophantic, insane minds, right, that our society produces, which it is, right, and I participate in that openly, that are kind of ultimately the drivers, I think, of our politics, right? Like, the craziest people are the ones that are commenting on tweets and in on threads and on Facebook messages, right? Like, that's us, right? That's me and you, Connor, and like all the other people that are even crazier than we are, which is quite a few of them. Like, it, you know, I won't be the first to say that like things are not going well for Israel, right? Like when you see like J.D. Vance kind of doing this like apologia about like, you know, we just have to trust, you know, our great allies or whatever. And then the replies are just like, I mean, they are crazy anti-Semitic, right? From the like from the MAGA right, or like not even the MAGA right, just like the crazy people on Twitter, the ones that Elon Musk, you know, said hi to when he did that weird gesture that he did. Right. Uh-huh. But then also from like, you know, everybody, once you scroll past all the blue check marks, like all of the basically normal users as well, like it's not a good indication. Right. And that should be kind of like surprising, right? For again, right. Like one of the countries that you look at in terms of that, one of the countries that in the past has had an extremely clean PR and propaganda operation, right. It's just continual degeneration on that side. Which is fascinating, right? It's just you know, stuff's changing all the time.
Stuff is changing. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is now a vocal opponent of war. One of the most vocal opponents of war.
I mean, that's crazy. Well, you know what? Look, we have never said on this podcast that one of the problems with MTG is that she doesn't speak her mind, right? Because she does. She is a voice for her truth.
Oh yeah.
Right? And if that leads her to be, you know, dismissive of the need to do a regional war in the Middle East, good, I guess, right? Well, like, that's fine.
You're right. She's brave. She spoke her mind, got kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. She could get kicked out of MAGA Caucus. Who knows? All I got to say is, MTG, welcome to the resistance.
He's like, y'all, I just found out that Benjamin Netanyahu is Jewish. He's
that's what's so funny, that she voted against the defining anti-Semitism bill, because like, we aren't allowed to call them Christ killers now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Don't forget the space lasers thing, right? Like, yeah. It's in her heart. She knows what she wants to say.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we all
she's
know.
She's not allowed to.
We all know.
Do you believe? Do you believe opposing Israel for the wrong reasons? Like, no, maybe we need to cut that.
I'm not touching it. Not touching it.
The implications of that question are not good, folks.
I'm not even legally allowed to question the country.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right, Connor. Yeah. And that's why you won't be hearing that in the episode, listener.
Well, in that case, why don't we move on to the questions that were posed to me? Do you want to?
So, real quick, can we wrap it? Because I want to just like. Boop, poke at your mind. So that's basically what happens when there's even like an attempt at a narrative and people already have a side, right? And like, the weird thing is, when people don't have a side, or like, when people don't have like an established side in name particular, right? How would I put this? Like, whenever people don't recognize a name, right, that they attach some kind of, right, a nation state, or you know, somebody that they like or dislike, and that they've been kind of primed to like or dislike, boy, do we snap back into like our kind of tried and true, right? Like, that's when you learn what people like really, really think. And the Minnesota like shooting stuff has been exactly that, because goddamn, Connor, like the amount like of like such low effort, like propagandizing that like people have to do basically on social media to be utterly convinced that the man who murdered a bunch of Democratic lawmakers, that murdered a Democratic lawmaker in Minnesota and tried to, you know, kill like a dozen others or whatever, was, I guess, like a mercenary for like the Democratic Party and like worked directly for Tim Walz. Like, it's crazy how quickly that narrative like congeals, right?
Oh, yeah.
It like, even for somebody like me who's trying to pick through like the information on social media like hours later, like, it's impossible to divine like what of these posts is based on any fact and what's just made up. Like,
that's the hard thing about this not being our job, is that like, by the time we have enough information to like kind of process this for our listeners, someone else has already done it.
Yeah, well, and it's already over. Like, it's already dead.
Yes, it is already over. That is, oof. How do you think this will be talked about next week outside of Minnesota?
No. Well, so I guarantee you, a weird thing that does happen in my life is it might be referenced months or years later as a thing that like got like somebody read, like, oh, he worked for Tim Walz, and somebody will kind of reference that years from now in a conversation about the Democrats or something, and I'll be like, wait, are they talking about the guy that shot the people in Minnesota? And they won't even know what they're referencing, right? It'll be like a little pebble that sticks in their brain somewhere, and like they like, most of the file is redacted or like has been like smudged out, right? And then they just remember there was a guy that killed that guy and he was a Democrat, right? Like, that's like what it ends up being.
Yep. Damn.
I have to ask, like, Connor, do you think, like, in this case, right, of like the you know, the propagandizing about the Minnesota assassin, what's his name,
Vance Bolter?
J.D. Vance.
Yeah, J.D. Vance Volker. I mean, that was his nickname, J.D. So, like, whenever you write his name, make sure you put J.D. in quotation marks.
In parentheses before?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that, I mean, we'll never know, but, like, do you think that somebody actively, like, lied to get this thing going? Or do you think it's just the hive, like, creating something on its own?
Fuck. Oh, man. Column A and column B, dude.
It's like,
I think there are people doing mental gymnastics that are like not willing to believe what they're seeing, and maybe somebody like fans that flame, maybe somebody with like enough sway, and then it reached like the fringe sphere of influence to like the mainstream sphere of influence. And next thing you know, it's being talked about on Alex Jones. The next thing you know, it's being talked about on Charlie Kirk. And next thing you know, it's being talked about on Newsmax. Like it will go from like crackpot to mainstream. Well, not even, I don't know if we can call Newsmax mainstream. It is, but like, it's not what we normally refer to mainstream news as, but it'll end up there. You'll have some, if not Newsmax, One American News.
It is like, cause like, I can't tell. It's like this because, it's impossible to tell because like all of social media is this insane game of telephone where like sometimes it's literally impossible to track back who made the thing that the other people are referencing, whatever, like 10 tweets down or like 10 replies down, where something originated from. So it is like literally impossible to tell if the person that maybe originally made the statement even made a statement, or if it was misheard and then posted, but like in a slightly deviated way. And then it like grew out of control, as like so much other stuff does. Yeah. It's impossible to tell whether it's like propaganda coming, like seeded from one act of, like malice, right? Or if it's just like spontaneous, like generate, like autogenesis or whatever, right? Like
it's like that meme of the guy putting the small domino in front of the progressively bigger one. And we don't know what's going to be on that final square, but the first one is going to be like a misinformation about this. Because hey, what do you know? I'm pretty sure some misinformation is why Vance pulled that trigger. So like, who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay, so do we want to move to talking about the question?
Let's do these questions. So after I gave this presentation on the Chick-fil-A streaming app and blah 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 blah, again, like we talked about Trump and the Ellison family moving into media. Well, the Kathy family is moving into media. The Chick-fil-A people.
The who?
The Kathy family. So.
So this is the family that owns Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A is privately owned, right? It's not a publicly traded company. It's franchised, but basically it's all owned by this one family, and they're big into conservative media, I guess.
Now, and we'll let's not go too down that rabbit hole, because I do want something somewhere. But the questions that were asked to me in the Q&A session, one of them was, when I explained, like, oh, yeah, I watch a bunch of stuff on Angel Studios with my podcast co-host. We watch so much propaganda. It ends up being a lot of right-wing propaganda. We have yet to treat ourselves to, like, truly enjoyable content in a while. And someone asked me, like, are you okay? And I kind of stopped, and I looked back at my friends who were doing the, like, cuckoo, cuckoo sign. Like, I think so, but maybe people who know me don't think so. I'm not entirely sure. But then the follow-up question was, well, why do you do this?
Good question.
Yeah, no, I just kind of like stared at him. I was like, what are you, an asshole? Like, no, but it was the first time anyone had ever asked me, like, why? There's so much content to watch. Why this? And after he asked me that, I stopped and thought, I'm not watching anything that I want to watch. I want to watch Andor season 2, but I look at, like, you know that meme of, I'm so sick of bad screen, can't wait to get I don't have a good screen anymore. I have is my Nintendo Switch and Night Rain. That's it. And like, if I want to watch TV, I'm like, no, TV is where the bad stuff is. TV is where the Christian people are going to tell me that I'm going to hell. I can't do this anymore.
Connor, I have to tell you, listeners, I do not have this problem. I'm watching lots of content. Connor tells me what to watch, but he is way more dedicated to watching like all the crazy shit, right, than like I am.
I do watch a lot of crazy shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know what. So I guess my answer is it's fun, and I don't think it affects me that much. But maybe your answer is different.
I don't think it affects. Like, I'm not. My fiance did to make me promise to tell her if I want to kill myself. And I was like, all right.
I would hope so.
Well, I said, I was like, one caveat, only if I want to kill myself because of this content and the podcast. If I want to kill myself for other reasons, I reserve the right to be secretive.
There you go.
But that's a joke.
You can't be spilling the beans.
Yeah. Like, no, if I have gambling debts, I'm not going to tell you. Exactly. Find me. Yeah. So it's not affecting, I don't think it's really affecting my mental health so much. like not any more so than just like reading the news or my normal daily doom scroll does. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of, it doesn't even bum me out really. Like when I go to these opening nights for Angel Studios movies and I see that they're packed, I see it like from an anthropological perspective of just like looking around like, wow, look at all these people. Like I grew up around evangelicals. I don't find them to be like barbarians. I just, they're everywhere. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah, they're just dumb people. I mean, they just dumb people with bad opinions. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna pull my punches, right? Like yeah. Their opinions are sometimes very evil, but most of the time just kind of, you know, it's kind of just, they don't make much sense. They've never really thought about them. They exist kind of in the milieu of their lives, and that's what makes them comfortable. It's what makes them feel good, right? Like, yeah. I think, ironically, I get a lot more upset when I watch things that I agree with, because I'm a fucking passionate guy, right?
Yeah.
If it's something that I agree with, it's probably because something's very bad about the world, and I'm going to get real fucking worked up. And this stuff, I mean, it's like a little bit annoying, but like, what? The, I mean, so by the time you listen to this, listener, our episode about America.
Oh no, this is getting released tomorrow. This is releasing tomorrow.
Yeah, the episode about American Miracle will not have come out yet. But we watched a film that you will never probably see.
Yeah.
Maybe you've never even heard of.
Right.
Full of like basically ahistoricisms or just bullshit. Right. To like the kind of stuff that convinces your grandparent of something that you'll never be able to like. A crowbar out of their brain about like American history, and like that's kind of annoying, but it doesn't upset me.
That's a really good way to put it. That is a really good way to put it. I'll say one thing about like why we do this, and this is like a little bit of an origin story. Alec and I wanted to collaborate on something, some kind of media thing, because we would call each other nearly every day and just be like, man, some shit's going on in the news and they're lying about this, they're lying about that. And there was one weekend that we got together and just watched like a ton of right-wing-esque movies. So we saw Sound
of Freedom. None of which we talked about on the podcast. Did we talk about the Hunter Biden movie on the podcast
No.
We didn't. Oh, man.
And all three of these movies we wanted to do episodes on, especially Falling Down. We'll do a Falling Down
episode. We'll do a Falling Down someday.
Yeah.
That's a good movie, though,
that is
right?
A good movie, yes.
Bad politics, good movie.
Yeah, but it was just like a boys weekend where we just watched like hours and hours of movies. And we were like, let's just like hit record and see what happens. And here we are. We've been doing it for over a year now.
And it's fun.
It's fun.
It's a good outlet, right? Like,
yeah. So if it's not Alec, then it's me like talking to my fiance and she's just like,
right,
uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I have to say, and I think I've told you this before, but like when people ask me those questions, like, are you okay? Like, does that affect you? I like almost don't know what they're talking about, because I mean, I know people's brains work differently and they have different like dispositions to this stuff. It's possible that like my background's different than Connor's. I did not grow up around a bunch of evangelicals. I do live around some of them now, right? Which changes kind of my predisposition, but I don't like naturally have, I don't have like an aversion to this stuff that like, because it overlaps with some kind of like childhood trauma or like some stuff that I'm like frustrated with. I mostly kind of laugh at it and have to roll my eyes because, you know, I hopefully believe in some kind of political change eventually in America. And you are going to have to contend with these people, right? People that think these things make up a sizable portion of the American like body politic, right?
I don't think that this stuff is any worse for us. So two things. One, when people ask like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't think I was okay before watching this stuff. Like that's fucking insane. And also
I'm no worse.
Yeah, I'm not worse. But also a thing like, what do you, America listeners, because we have an international audience. Listeners, what do you think is worse for my mental health? Watching the latest Angel Studios production or seeing Saddam Hussein die on the local news?
Yeah.
Which we watched on repeat. Like,
I mean,
so don't
exactly
come at me.
If you're a person that pays any attention to the news, I'd like to ask you, why the fuck are you doing that? I guarantee you nothing that we've watched for the show is as depressing as like the major headlines have been for the past year. Right. None of it's been that fucking bad. So I don't know. I just don't really I guess people do, like, people that are sensitive to that stuff, I think, kind of seclude themselves in media bubbles where they don't interact with stuff that upsets them. And I, you know, I don't really understand that, but I can envision it. Right. And for those people, I guess it's kind of surprising that you'd want to watch a bunch of Angel Studios shit or, you know, out and out right wing propaganda that you disagree with.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get into this on a later episode, I'm sure. But like, dude, a lot of the mainstream Hollywood blockbusters are funded by and give money to some of the worst evil people in the world.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, so Marble Slop is State Department approved. Like, don't forget.
Not only is State Department approved, but again, sorry to go back to this, but the Kathy family gets money off of those fucking things because they run the biggest production lot in Georgia.
The anyway. Famous anti-gay sandwiches.
Yeah, and now
that really is dead, huh?
Yeah,
but like the Chick-fil-A like frustration really is like gone away. I suppose.
Well, okay, so this ties into another question I got, which was when it comes, and you know, this guy every now and then when I present at Nerd Night, there are people that ask me just like a question, and then there are people that give me like a really long response and end it on a question. So like, okay, save it for your fucking blog, dude. But. This one guy, basically a long roundabout way of asking, okay, so is it better or more ethical to pirate content from like CD creators or like bad companies than it is to give money to it? And yeah, whatever. I mean,
if you can get a good version of it, it's better.
Yeah, if you're seeing like a you know, a theater cam version, maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can. Well, I'm not going to advocate go out and pirate something because that is a crime and you're not going to catch me advocating for a crime. But I will say that if you watch something, I always use this example. If you find yourself like watching the new Louis C.K. special and you don't want anyone to get on your ass about it, don't tell them. And I'm
well, saying, I mean, I assume
what I mean by that is if you publicly announce that you like something, you better be prepared to publicly defend it if anyone comes at you with like, here's a laundry list of why you shouldn't watch this guy, here's the laundry list of why you shouldn't like, you know, buy the Hogwarts game or something. And my whole thing is like, dude, this world fucking sucks.
Everything sucks. Shut the fuck up.
Completely awful. You get nothing in this world, so take your little joys where you can. And if you don't want people to yell at you for playing Hogwarts Legacy, don't tell them you're playing it.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I don't know if anybody like that listens to our podcast like does this, but don't do it, right? If you listen to this podcast, you have interacted with someone who has done this, which is debate lording about like, you know, the micro morality of like little consumer decisions. It's fucking annoying. It doesn't make a shit. Right. You're like, you're not even actually doing like the min-maxing of like building the most moral set of actions that you can work by, right? Because probably if we did that, we'd all fucking kill ourselves, right? Like, we're not doing that shit. No. And I think most of it is some of that I think is engaging in like an earnest but kind of misplaced line of argumentation about trying to do good in a bad world, but mostly it's just annoying, right? Like, focus on the things that we can advocate against that are the worst things, because not only would changing those things matter a lot more than whether or not you give Angel Studios $5, right? But they certainly aren't fucking annoying, and they don't make people not like you, right? Which, if you're an advocate for anything, or if you have political opinions, is probably the first thing you need to worry about, which is make yourself likable and make your arguments kind of make yourself fun to be around, so that when when your goofy coworkers, right, or people that have bad politics or could have slightly better politics, right, whenever you get into a political conversation, they don't just fucking roll their eyes because they already know that you're annoying as shit.
If you're gonna come, I also think, like, if you're gonna come for somebody for their media consumption, you better be a purist. Like, you better, like, those who live in glass houses, right? Because if you ever give me shit, you have no idea how obsessive I could become about, like, scrolling through your social media and finding, like, It seems that you went to a Tim Burton a Tim Burton movie. Did you not remember what he said about black people in his movies?
Oh no. Connor is ready to burn bridges if you slight him.
Interesting. And yet you use an iPhone.
Well, you know what? Hey, look, Connor and I grew up doing debate shit, and that's still a part of us deep down somewhere, right? Do not trigger.
If there's two things I can't get away from, it's debate lord shit and my libertarian streak.
Because that is like
I feel it. Like when I get in an argument with someone, I feel myself going like cold debate mode, and just like I get so I'm so annoying. It's just like that's interesting, but you use this phrasing. Like if you argue with me over text, it's fucking game over both of us. There's no winning when I'm debating. So not that like you'll never beat me. It's just like I've already lost.
Moral consumption.
You've lost because like you wasted your fucking time talking to me.
Like arguments about moral consumption or whatever, like Connor's like Manchurian candidate trigger word, where he just like goes like his like face goes blank and like his like eyes just become sullen. He's just like,
yeah,
well, I mean, if you want to have that conversation, it's just like full debate autist. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing, you didn't say that.
So we need to define our terms. Bro, that is like, if somebody does that, I'm just like, let's back up. I'm sorry I did that to you. Whatever I said that, I'm sorry I fucking triggered you, man.
Resolved. You're an asshole.
You're resolved. Oh, no. Any other questions come to mind about chicken filet?
Not big ethical ones. Oh, there was one thing where I did say that, like, you know, people were asking me where I draw the line with my ethical consumption. And is there ethical consumption in capitalism? I don't fucking know. But my whole thing was like, after learning about this production studio that these people are involved in, I was like, this is so much more nefarious than openly stating where you donate your money to. Because they're still donating to like various basic like asset management firm Christian charities where it's like, here's $10,000, give it to whatever you think is best, you know? And I did say that after learning about this Marvel stuff, like, I decided I'm never going to eat at Chick-fil-A again. And people started applauding me, and I was just like, don't do that. Do not do that. Because I can just go get a different chicken sandwich. It's not like I'm boycotting the bus and, like, destroying my feet walking to work. Like, I'm not – no. Unless there's actual organizing power behind your boycott.
Thank you, Connor.
Do not applaud.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I mean. I mean, like, that's kind of what I mean, because it's like, well, if you decide to not eat at Chick-fil-A and like you make it a big thing, I hope you know that what you're implying is that you need to do a deep dive on everything you buy, on everywhere you eat, and make sure that they're not evil, right? Like, I know that like Chick-fil-A is maybe more obvious about like what it is, but everybody's going to like what people are going to come to is that's so annoying that I'm not going to look into it. Right. I don't want to know. They're going to put up a barrier that says like anytime anybody tells you that a corporation's evil, don't listen to them because they're going to be annoying about it. And I don't want to have to know. Right. I don't want to have to feel guilty, and I don't want to have to think that way about the shit that I buy.
It's just like finding out that Wendy's gets their tomatoes through slave labor, and you're at Wendy's just go, and you know what? No tomatoes. And you like look around hoping somebody like gives you the like the thumbs up,
the tiniest clap.
Guy stands up too quick, gets the chili all over him. Swatting you. No tomatoes, no tomatoes. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Your briefcase falls open. It's just full of tomatoes.
Saying no tomatoes and then ordering on DoorDash a bunch of Wendy's tomatoes to be delivered to my house. Oh man. All right, man. You got anything else?
No, man. It's been a hell of a week. Interesting from a propaganda angle on mostly we're talking about social media, but also, you know, crap that we read in the headlines. Hope you guys are out there enjoying, you know, enjoying the news, enjoying reacting or participating or creating your own propaganda, either by malice or just for fun, right? And if you're not doing that, if you feel like you need to take to the streets, I don't give a fuck. Set shit on fire. I don't care. Hey, look, I'm not advocating for it, but at the end of the day, if it's not my shit, it's not my problem. Most of you don't live in Lake Charles anyway, right? And it's not going to affect how people react. Nobody gives a fuck. They're going to think you're bad or good, depending on some prerequisite that basically has nothing to do with what your, you know, your actual reasoning is. So,
and I think that you should stand up for what you believe in.
There you go. That, because, hey, that's what I'm saying.
Because this world is absolutely awful, and whatever you can do to get your small victories and to like help you sleep at night is okay by me. No harm.
Just a guy that's listening to the podcast who's also a pyromaniac being like, you're right. I should do what I love. Alec is right.
Connor and Alec are right.
Connor and Alec are both right.
Oh, boy. Oh, all right. Well, on that note, Excelsior Propaganda. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye.